This is KTO's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today. It's about 21 minutes after the top of the hour, and our next guest is with the Alaska Department and Fish and Game to report on regional wildlife activity with Wildlife Roundup Education and Outreach Coordinator Abby McAllister. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Scott. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So I guess this is the summer wildlife report. What are things looking like around the region?
Sure. Well, with the beginning of summer, we have a lot of new young wildlife around. And so that's something we wanted to touch on today. And I wanted to talk everything from bears to moose to, maybe even porcupine that you might see out there. But as far as locally, we're really looking at maybe a bumper crop of yearling bears. So every spring we get, when we have a lot of yearling bears, which are bears that have been kicked out by mom, they're old enough to fend for themselves. They've learned enough skills that they can make it in the big wild world. But they usually go through a little trial and error first. But yearling bears, you know, we get a lot of calls because they kind of in this, you know, awkward stage where, they're not that big. They're about the size of like a large, golden retriever, probably. They have these long, lanky legs, and usually their fur is a little shaggy because they're shedding. And they look kind of overall thinner than your average, you know, say black bear or brown bear. But, we get a lot of calls from folks saying, oh my gosh, you know, hey, there's this poor malnourished bear that's all confused in my backyard. You know, what's going on? I think, you know, it's really hungry and it's been kicked out by mom. What we want to tell people is that with these yearling bears, and we do expect a lot of them, like I said, let them do their thing because they'll figure it out. They don't need to call us. The bear is probably going to be just fine, but we can help them. We can help them by kind of steering them in the right direction, so to speak. You know, they're going to be out there trying to figure things out for themselves, and sometimes they will try to get into, you know, say, a chicken coop or maybe a garbage can that's been left out. And in those situations, if a resident were to see, you know, a young bear trying to get at a garbage can, you know, it's okay to like kind of honk your horn or maybe like use a noisemaker to let that young bear know, like, hey, that's not an okay thing to do. That's not a habit you want to start.
Okay. So the bumper crop factor, any ideas why?
We've been following. Last year we had a lot of female bears with cubs around, cubs of the year. So they were cubs that were born in the den, not this last winter, but the winter before. And so we've been kind of following those moms. And so we know that this is the time of year that those cubs from last year are now going to be old enough to be kicked out. So we're anticipating there's going to be a lot of young bears running around without mom to help them out. So that's why we kind of have been following these bears. A lot of them kind of in and around the glacier, in the valley. There's some downtown probably as well. So we try to kind of keep our thumb on kind of the pulse of the bear population locally.
You know, I've never asked, but you know how there's sort of dog age? I think you multiply it by 7. Is there such thing as sort of bear and people comparison age?
I don't know. That's a great question, though. I'm going to take that one back to the office and find out.
I mean, these are like 18-year-olds finding their first apartment, just totally clueless.
Yes, I would actually say that's probably about right. Yeah, these are like kind of the awkward teenage years, you know, or maybe a little bit older. Yeah, they've just been kicked out of the nest and they could make some bad choices but we are, you know, it's okay for us to help them. But of course, I will say never approach a bear, regardless of whether it's a yearling or a cub or older bear, never approach them. But it's okay, like I said, to use a noisemaker or honk your horn or just steer that bear away from that potential trouble that it could get into. And, you know, like I said, we don't need to hear about those ones. You don't have to call us every time you see a yearling bear out and about. But sometimes we do have cubs of the year. That's cubs that were born in the den this past winter that do somehow get separated from mom. Sometimes it's just Mother Nature steps in and mom's not around anymore. And so sometimes cubs will get abandoned. And if you see a cub, or you see a young bear that you think is a cub of the year, you can identify those because they're much smaller. They're about the size of a, you know, cocker spaniel. They're round, kind of like a, you know, beach ball shape. And they're much smaller. Of course, those ones should be with mom. And if you, you know, if you happen to see one of those, like up in a tree in your backyard or somewhere like that, and for maybe a couple days persistently, the sow is not around, the female is not around, then it's okay to call us, because that does happen. But, you know, of course, again, never feed wildlife because that is actually illegal. And don't approach it because sometimes mom might be just busy and she may not be far off, and it's really dangerous to get between a female bear and her cub.
All right. What is that number to call you?
That is, oh gosh, I should have had that handy. Well, let's see. If you go, it's 465. Stand by, Scott. Let me get that for you. Sorry. Well, if you go to, if you call our Douglas office, and the quick way to do that is to just Google ADF&G Douglas office. That number is 465-4250. But if you see a cub or if you see a bear getting into an attractant, do call the Juneau Police Department. That's who would be the best person to call at that time.
All right. So cubs of the year, little ones up in a tree by themselves. Call 465-4250.
That's
but
right.
If you are having a problem with like sort of an adult bear, then it's call JPD, non-emergency line, right?
Correct. That's exactly correct. And again, if the cub is alone persistently, because it is common. That's the other thing I want to talk about is young wildlife. And it's not uncommon for a young wildlife to be left alone from mom. So, you know, the term I kind of like to use is alone does not mean abandoned. You know, for example, sickle black-tailed deer will sometimes leave their fawns alone while they go off and forage and then come back to retrieve them. Same with, you know, bear cubs. Mom will send them up in a tree while she's down maybe foraging or fishing. So this is the time of year where if you do find a young wildlife, a young animal alone, it's not necessarily abandoned, and it's important to just let it be, because sometimes we do get some people who, you know, will bring in a fawn that they found in the woods and say, oh, we just found this, you know, mom wasn't around. Well, unfortunately, you know, sometimes it's hard to find placement, or if you do pick it up and then put it back, your scent will be on that fawn, or that young animal, and then mom will reject it later. So, that's just another thing to be cautious of out there,
you know,
this time of year.
Maybe those moms are just practicing social distancing.
Well, we should practice social distancing from the baby animals. That's what we should be doing. So yeah, that's kind of some of the you know, the main stuff right now. Like, for example, we know of a couple moose calves in Haines right now that seem to have gotten separated from their mom. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of concerned citizens up there, but we're pretty sure that mom's not far off. And if those calves are just given space, the cow will come back and retrieve the calf, which is most often what happens.
Got it. Speaking of moose, what's the closest moose get to downtown Juneau these days?
Not very. I think that the closest sighting that we've had of a moose in Juneau has been Dredge Lakes. And that was a bull moose a few falls ago that was wandering around looking for a mate. And the poor guy, I don't know what happened to him, but we haven't seen him since, although that was a couple years ago now. But, you know, it's not uncommon to see a cow moose and her calf. I think there's one that's pretty commonly seen out in Cowie Meadows. So yeah, they don't get too close to downtown, but with you know, kind of the Berners Bay moose population slowly expanding, it is more common to see moose out the road. And again, you know, a cow moose will aggressively defend her calf. So if you see one of those out on a trail, it's best to just give it lots of space.
Do you know if one's ever been sighted on Douglas?
Not that I know of. No. Okay.
And what about coming up from the Taku? Do we ever see any down that direction?
So there are plenty of moose on the Taku River drainage. In fact, this past fall was one of the largest harvests of bull moose coming out of the Taku River drainage that they've seen in many, many years. So the moose population there is healthy, although I'm pretty sure that they don't come over that mountain range there. You know, the ice field is a pretty vast swath that I don't think they typically cross. They're really creatures of kind of lowland marsh areas where they have a lot of willows and a lot of alder to graze on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned porcupine, you know, going from moose to porcupine.
Yeah, so that you know, kind of segues us into the discussion of wildlife down on the roads these days. And today, driving home from the office for lunch, I had to slow down to let a little porcupine cross North Douglas Highway. And the reason why wildlife are down by roads this time of year is because, well, that's where all the food is. Green up happens from, you know, the beaches on up to the high elevations. And so it's not uncommon to see deer grazing early in the morning down by the roadsides, porcupine down there for the same reason. Moose, we'll see bears pretty soon here grazing on all the dandelions, especially out the road, kind of a little past Auk Bay there. So just, you know, I always try to let drivers know to keep your eye out, just watch for wildlife near the roads and near clearings, because, you know, they don't always watch out for cars. So it's important for us to watch out for them.
I saw a vole hanging out in the road the other day out Thane. I was on a bike ride, and I wondered, you know, the sun had been on the road for a while, and I wondered if it was enjoying the warmth of hanging out on the road.
It could be. You know, we've had a couple of days of pretty rainy weather, and I will say that yesterday morning, the same, in my backyard here, I saw a couple snowshoe hares that had come out of the bushes and were grazing happily in the lawn in the sunlight. So I think after, you know, a couple of days of decent rain, animals will come out and enjoy the sunlight just like we do.
Very cool. Snowshoe hares. I understand that their populations oscillate from year to year. Is that a sign that they're sort of high in population right now? Do you happen to know?
I don't know for sure, but you are exactly right. Snowshoe hares, their population follows a trend of boom and bust. So they'll, you know, be really prolific for a couple years. They'll be a high population, and then they just, you know, I think they're the predators zone in on that, and they'll the population will go down, and then they'll come right back up again. Because, like other, you know, hares, rabbits, they procreate really quickly. So it's not uncommon for a population to go up high very, very fast for hares, and then once those predators figure it out, they drop down again. But yeah, I've seen more snowshoe hares this year than I have, I think, ever. They may be climbing, but I can't say for sure. And I don't know that we have any research to back up that statement. It's just been kind of anecdotal on my part.
And lynx are they one of their main predators?
Yeah. In fact, the two are very closely associated. So if there is a spike in snowshoe hare populations, the lynx population is not far behind. And then subsequently, if there's a decline in hare populations, the lynx population will do the same thing. You know, up further north, kind of near Skagway, Yukon, kind of toward the interior of Alaska, they see that correlation very clearly. We don't have lynx down here, so I'm not sure exactly if I don't think we keep tabs on that like they do further north, as far as the boom and bust of the snowshoe hare population. But there's definitely a few more this year than in past years, yeah.
Any other critters on your radar right now?
Let's see. I mean, just the bears. You know, spring and the summer is really a time of where we do a lot of talking about bears, and I feel like I beat the same drum every year when it comes to bears. Always keep your attractants secured. We have a lot of people interested in electric fences this year, which is great. They work. It's kind of like, you know, if you have chickens or you have livestock or you have your prized cherry tree that you want to protect, do it. And do it before you have a problem. It's kind of like wearing your seatbelt. You know, you wear your seatbelt not because, you know, you've ever been in a car crash or you think you're going to get in one that day. You just wear it for as a preventative measure because, you know, one day if something happens, you'll be happy you have that seatbelt on. Same thing with an electric fence around your chickens. You know, it's good to have one there because you never know. One day you might be really happy that it's there. And bears learn pretty quick. So if a bear, you know, gets a chicken out of a coop one day, they'll be back for the rest. That's for sure. So just always make sure that, yeah, you're making sure your garbage is secured inside a, you know, garage or a secure shed. Make sure that your grills are clean. All that kind of stuff. We want to make sure that we're keeping bears wild in our city and so we can enjoy them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they become a problem. Yeah.
So I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot of camping here in Juneau this summer here, you know, off the road system. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if we do see a bear somewhere on the Juneau Road system, is it most likely going to be a black bear?
It could be either. Okay. If it's on the road system and you're out, you know, if you're within Juneau, so, for example, if you're camping near the Mendenhall Glacier Campground or in that campground, it's probably going to be a black bear. If you move further out toward, if you're out near Point Bridges State Park, it could be a brown bear. Brown bears are sighted out there regularly. But as far as how to react, if you see a brown bear or a black bear, it's all the same.
Oh, good. Remind us that, please.
Sure. So, first thing you do, if you see a bear, just stop. Right. And if the bear doesn't see you, just slowly move away and keep your eyes on the bear and just go back to the direction you came. If the bear does see you, then just very calmly and quietly talk to that bear and let it know that you're human. The best thing you can do is use your voice, because that's the only thing that in nature that identifies you as human. Clapping's okay. You know, blowing a whistle is okay, but that doesn't actually say, hi, I'm a human. And you always want to talk to it in a calm voice because you don't want to startle a bear. And then, you know, you talk to the bear and just say, hey, bear, it's just me. I'm just here sharing this trail. And then again, back slowly away. It is always advisable to carry bear spray with you on your person in an accessible place. If you're out hiking, you know, we say always hike in groups and just make sure you're always chatting when you're moving through the woods. If you are camping, just make sure that your food is always secured and make sure that you are camping away. Your tent is away from where your cook zone is, and always make sure that your cook area is all cleaned up and that you're not, you know, leaving your trash bag out on the picnic table or leaving scraps of food in the fire pit. You know, if that bear notices you and starts coming towards you, just make sure that you continue to let that bear know that you're human and group up as a group. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, that bear will just be like, oh, okay, you're human. Yeah, I don't feel like hanging around you, and they'll move off. And again, like I said, just have that deterrent on you. And if the bear does come towards you, you want to just be ready to use it. And if anybody wants to have more information about bear deterrents or how to use them, they should give us a call on that main Fish and Game number. And we'd be happy to, you know, talk to them about it. We even have inert sprays that folks can practice with if they want to.
Oh, great. You know, that's interesting to me to hear that it's the same, I guess, reaction to both of the bear, both brown bears and black bears, because it seems like back in the day, there was sort of a different, you know, uh-huh, a different way to respond to each, but now it's the same. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like I said, we just never want to surprise a bear. That's why we move in groups and talk, and always want to give a mama bear and cub space, because they really need a lot of personal space. She'll defend those cubs, and, you know, never approach a bear that's on food or in a salmon stream eating or on, you know, a kill. They work really hard for their food, and we want to make sure that we stay away from them when they have it. And if anybody wants more information on bears or how to react in a bear encounter, we have a lot of information on our website, adfng.alaska.gov.
And that number again is 465-4250. Is that a good one?
That's correct. Yep.
Where would you get bear spray here in town?
Oh gosh, I would say you can get it a couple different places. I'm sure Western Auto carries it. I know that Sportsman Warehouse has a huge supply right now. And, you know, I've seen it at Costco in bulk. And I've seen it, let's see, I would guess that maybe some of the outdoor stores might carry it. But I know for sure that I saw it at Western Auto and Costco most recently. You know, when it comes to bear spray, my biggest tip with folks, I tell them, always make sure that you have it in a place you can easily access it, and always treat it like a firearm, because, you know, you never want to point at anybody, because that stuff, even if you get a little bit of active bear spray on your fingers, that stuff is pretty potent.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Abby McAllister. She is the Education and Outreach Coordinator with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We've been talking about wildlife, Roundup, the moose, bears, porcupines and more, and bear safety. Abby, it's been nice speaking with you. Is there anything we're missing? Anything that you'd like to share?
No, you know, Scott, I just thanks so much for having me. And We do have social. We're out there on social media and with everybody kind of tuning in online and on the radio more. Feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, we are ADFG Southeast Alaska, and on Instagram, we are ADFG Southeast _AK.
All right, and the number is 465-4250. And you said we could even go practice with inert bear spray with you. Basically.
Yeah. If someone wanted, I would say go online first. There's a bear spray video on our website under the bears tab and view that. And then if you still have questions, give me a call and we can talk you through it and answer any questions you might have.
All right, Abby. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.